gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, comedian Louis Black joins us today. How exciting is that? Very. I'll just answer for everybody.
Sure. It's very, very exciting.
I bet he's very happy about the election.
I'm so happy. Can't you tell?
Actually, he kind of is.
I still savor that poor beleaguered right-winger that happened to call the day Louis Black was in studio.
Oh, yeah.
That was
that's beautiful.
Not smart.
Yeah, but
you're an idiot! Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
All right, StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, Boyce Deedee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Well, now that the election's over, we have battling beaver bits. Chris and Yankton throwing down that, well, because yesterday, I think it was Britain sent this from Crocodile Hunter.
This beaver would have a big enough bite to remove a rather large section of my bone.
You wouldn't want a beaver bite to remove a large section of your bone.
Chris and Yankton's throwing down. Steph, I see the listener's Crocodile Hunter beaver sound clip, and I raise him one Paul Lind.
Look who's talking, beaver face.
Okay. It's just because it's Paul Lind.
Why not? Paul Lind is funny. Automatically.
Paul, can you get an elephant drunk? Yes, but he still won't come up to your apartment.
Okay. All right. Speaking of Paul, other Pauls, Paul writes, Romney versus Obama gifts. Seth, I hear everyone talking about the things Romney mentioned as gifts from Obama, but those were actually the functions of government.
Yeah.
No one seems to be making the obvious statement that it was Romney's campaign that was promising big gifts. Didn't he promise cash to everyone in the form of a 20% tax cut?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Isn't that a big fat cash gift? Not to mention the unspoken kickbacks to the rich. Paul, the smartest boy in class this morning.
That's right.
Thank you, Paul. Let's see. Oh, Stephen, with some new thinking on the fiscal cliff. Steph, how about if we push the Republicans off the fiscal cliff and then we all ride our glitter fart unicorn dressage ponies back down the hill into the green valley of multiracial, multicultural community picnic slash dressage event? By the way, when is Obama going to distribute the glitter fart unicorn dressage pony? I'm going to name mine Stormy.
That unicorn took a big bite out of my bone.
Oh, God.
All right. Wow-wee. I can't decide who's winning the sore loser off. Is it Mitt Romney or John McCain?
John McCain.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
wow. Oh,
my God.
And by the
way, Grampy.
Greg sent me this. It says Ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, isn't qualified to be Secretary of State because she's not very bright.
Yep.
But Sarah Palin was the best choice to be Vice President. So there's that. By the way, did you see this yesterday?
Yeah.
He got in a little spat with a CNN reporter about why he was having a press conference instead of actually going to the classified briefing where he could have found out the information he's screaming about Benghazi.
And you have to listen closely to this because it's a little hard to hear, but here's him screaming to the CNN reporter.
Why can't you comment on it? Because I have the right as a senator. I have no comment. And who the hell are you to tell me where I can or
not? I'm a reporter. I'm asking a question.
And I'm giving you an answer for the 10th time.
Wow. Oh,
dear. It's not the policies.
Who the hell are you?
Hello. The angriest dog in the world. John McCain. He just gets bitterer and bitterer.
Yeah.
We thought he was angry during the original campaign.
He needs to take his pill, then take a nap.
Right. Mm-hmm. Time for a nappy.
I hate you and I hate your ass face.
Yikes. Okay. So let's review, shall we? John McCain, of course, has promised to filibuster Susan Rice. By the way, Randy Rhodes, my radio BFF, she was talking about the difference between Condoleezza Rice and Susan Rice. And our rice is better than your rice. That's funny.
San Francisco truth. But
10 minutes after.
But Susan Rice was getting her information directly from the CIA.
Yes.
Yeah, which I smell a very large rat.
Yeah. I mean, but other people saw that she had, this was the information that was out there.
Right.
I mean, it's just.
Whereas Condoleezza Rice knew damn well there weren't any WMDs in Iraq.
Yeah, Mushroom Cloud.
Testified.
Do we still have Mushroom Cloud in the instant replay? I don't, I mean.
Hans Blix is on the ground looking
at. We don't want the smoking gun to be a Mushroom Cloud.
Yeah, whatever.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, not to mention that as we've mentioned many times, the worst national security failure in our history happens on her watch, and she gets promoted to Secretary of State. And John McCain had no problem with that. Okay. So he promised to filibuster Rice's nomination, do whatever he can to block the nomination that was within our power. And then he said the thing about she's not very bright.
Yeah.
The guy that picked Sarah Palin said she's not Stanford educated. We've had Susan Rice on the show, remember?
She's wicked smart.
And that made me go.
Wicked smart.
I came in, you know, like I normally do to look, and I was like, I'm in way over my head.
better get a Rhodes Scholarship quick before you talk to her.
Oh, I know. I was like, wow, I am, okay, way out of my league. She's like Sidney Allen Wade. I was way out of my league. That's an American president reference. Okay. Yes, interestingly, John McCain took a far different approach to another Rice in 2005. Remember? When Bush nominated Condoleezza Rice to the post, McCain defended the nomination despite Rice's central role in spreading the false information that Saddam Hussein was developing weapons of mass destruction. I love this, though. He said at the time, Jim, we can disagree on policy and disagree on lots of things, but I think it's very clear Condoleezza Rice is a person of integrity. And yes, I see some lingering bitterness over a very tough campaign. Really? Not like we would see subsequently.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so as Jim just mentioned, she...
Who the hell are you?
Well, thanks for asking.
Stephanie Miller.
Susan Rice was speaking from a set of talking points provided by the U.S. intelligence community, which was also provided to Congress, Grampy.
Yep.
Yeah.
The video had been cited those on the ground as being an impetus for the attack in recent weeks, challenging the Republican narrative. So this is what this reporter was asking him about. McCain skipped a briefing on Benghazi to have a press conference to bitch about not getting enough information about Benghazi.
He did.
Yes, he, as you know, is demanding a special select committee to investigate the events leading up to the deaths of more Americans in Benghazi. He has held around-the-clock television appearances, pressing for a complete review of the incident.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the senator's media interviews and press availabilities may be interfering with his ability to gather information about the event. He was, and that wasn't too obvious, too. So he has his little sidekick, Lindsey Graham. With him. And then he brings Kelly Ayotte, because you know it's like, oh, I don't want to look like I'm picking on the chick, so let me get a chick.
Yeah.
So Ted Barrett asked, that was a CNN reporter, about it, and that was the
exchange that we just played.
They're calling it an intense exchange. I love this. McCain's spokesperson explained Senator McCain was absent from the Benghazi hearing due to a scheduling error.
Right.
Yeah, whoever made that scheduling error in his office
is
in a dirt hole somewhere underneath the Capitol.
The schedule which apparently was designed to have his face in front of a television camera at every possible moment to bitch about
Grampy.
Oh, Grampy.
Angry man yells at clouds.
Arr! I know, I see that cartoon in my head every time he talks.
Careful of the apple pie on the seat.
Oh, Grampy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Grandpa, are you sitting on the pie?
I sure hope so.
So, as Jackie told us, Jennifer Petraeus is testifying now.
Yep.
He told CNN's Kira Phillips that Benghazi fallout had nothing to do with his resignation. She said he has insisted to me he never passed classified information to Paul Broadwell, and as long as I have known him, he has never wavered on classified information ever. He has said this has nothing to do with Benghazi. He wants to testify. He will testify. He has maintained to me all along this was a personal failing. He made it very clear his resignation was about an extramarital affair, not over classified information or Benghazi. So we will see, you said it's a closed hearing. So
it's a closed-door hearing,
I don't know if we're going to.
Oh, because classified information is probably being discussed, so.
Right.
You know, we wouldn't want to be like Paula Broadwell and have classified information downloaded into our brain.
Accidentally. Okay.
So
some people say
General Petraeus can't keep it in his pants. Therefore, Obama must be impeached.
Yeah,
that's
over Benghazi.
Exactly. Yes, obviously.
Yeah, right. The Republican general that George Bush appointed.
Yeah,
right.
That's Obama's fault.
Right,
and that Eric Cantor didn't say anything about.
Right,
because he knew a little something.
Funny
something.
That. Yeah. Funny that. Curious.
Something about it and doesn't believe it. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Diane in Chicago. Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Yes. What the problem is with wrong with John McCain is that he's having post-election syndrome. You know, like sometimes, you know, it may not hit them until like 4 years later.
Right.
And this is what's happening with him. So you know, you just
normally
really
don't you get too up. Don't you get too old to hold a grudge? I'm too old to care about anything anymore, and I'm
no, you don't. No, you don't.
Really?
You know, they continue. They continue, and you know, it's just like I said. He is clicking. Like, oh, I should have reacted like this 4 years ago. Let me go get him now.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, it just gets worse and worse. Right? I mean, you think, oh, you know, he'll be over this by now, and it just gets worse. I think would you have given anything to be a fly on the wall in his living room election night? He is the angriest dog in the world.
Yeah.
Because that, like, further, like, validated Obama, that it was not a fluke. He, you know.
I'm sure he might have even wanted to hit something.
Interesting.
Not a bit like Ed Harris.
LaVon, am I saying this right? LaVon in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, LaVon.
Yes.
Hi.
It's Laverne.
Laverne. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's okay.
I'm sorry. T-Bone is drunk.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. T-Bone is drunk on Flirtinis on Fridays. We're sorry. Laverne. Okay.
My question, Stephanie, is this. In 2001, when the terrorists did attack the U.S., where were all of these Republicans then demanding answers?
Right.
I mean, I understand the situation that went on in Benghazi, and my heart goes out to all the families, but where was this anger during 2001 when we actually needed them to be angry?
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, I think his partisan stripes have never been, you know, like you say, when you compare the Condoleezza Rice situation, it's just ridiculous. It's so ridiculous and partisan. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
What is that?
It's a bean. I brought crudité. Thank you. 24 minutes after the hour.
Did you bring dip for it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
1-800-ENOUGH for everybody.
Did you bring enough for the class?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's the John and Pam Show, everybody. Looky here. I don't think we've talked to them post-election.
From Ohio, yes. It's the John and Pam Show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam Show.
Good morning, John and Pam Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, baby.
Aww.
Hi, kids.
Hey, I don't know if you guys are having it out there or anything, but we have groups around here setting up tables in front of a couple of the post offices and that and everything.
Uh-huh.
They got Obama painted up as Hitler, and they are taking signatures to impeach him.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Based on what now?
Well, some of it is over what happened on at Benghazi.
Oh,
but
some of it I think is coming down to that they just don't want him in office.
Well, you can't impeach somebody just because you don't want them in office.
So
there has to be
these two groups are sort of at cross purposes, John. The people that want to secede and people want to impeach Obama. So they're going to need to work that out among themselves first.
Right.
Stephanie, honey, they got them these signs. I'm so upset. These tables. And it's got, like John said, Obama dressed as Hitler.
Wait.
And they have 9/11/2012.
Huh?
Mm. And I told John I want to go back today and take some pictures.
Oh, dear.
But, Steph, you know, I thought as a nation we have grown up.
Yeah.
And,
Pam, do you know that every single state in the union now has a petition to secede? I mean, when has this ever happened in our history?
Well,
I know.
Right.
Right. And where were all these people when Bush was in office and he said there was weapons of mass destruction and all our men and women went over there and were killed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody did anything.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's like a national temper tantrum or something. I mean, it's incredible.
They do know
these employers are like lashing out at their customers or their employees.
Yeah.
Over,
and
you go ahead.
I'm just so, I'm disappointed, Stephanie.
I'm just so disappointed. No, oh, I know, honey. Well, what can you say? You just hope that the time it will heal this, because it's really incredible.
There's always going to be an extreme right-wing group of yahoos in this country.
And I thought after the election, we were going to, there would be some unity. Mm. There would be, because we have came so far with our president.
I know.
And now,
Pam, but you gotta take some heart in the election results. You know, we are in obviously the vast majority. I mean, you know, that's all you can do. I mean, let's think about if the election had turned out the other way, how we would feel.
I know. And Steph, I hope that these few people that are out there doing this, they stop. Because they won't allow the president to make this a better United States, to unite us.
No, Pam, I don't know if you heard me yesterday. I mean, there definitely is a sad side. I mean, of course, last week we were all about celebrating and good fun. But, I mean, I'm telling you, yesterday I was telling a couple of stories, the woman that disfigured her husband, ran over him with a car because... Because he didn't vote, and she was upset about Obama getting reelected, and then a gay guy killed himself. His partner said, he left a note saying, F Obama. I mean, are people, losing their minds? I mean,
they are.
I don't know. I was so joyous, that we had elected Obama again. I thought we were going to move forward.
We are.
I feel like I'm just slipping back in the 50s.
Yeah.
Slipping back to the 1860s, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah.
Yes.
That didn't work out so well for them last time.
No. Yeah. I don't think so everything I read.
Some commissioner actually said that in, I don't know where, in the South, they're finally going to enact the healthcare exchanges. And he said, going up against the feds, we tried that.
Yeah.
It didn't work out so well last time. All right. John and Pam, love you guys. Hang in there. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And remember, Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day.
Oh, damn it.
Uh-oh.
I thought it was Viewmaster Shirt Day.
Is it Pants Free Friday? Has Jackie Shepner declared it Pants Free Friday again?
All right. If you insist.
Okay. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Christine in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Hi. I'm just wondering, why does President Obama even talk to Speaker Boehner? Wasn't he known for, hanging out or handing out checks on the speaker floor, trying to get everyone paid off?
From the tobacco companies. Yeah.
Cigarette companies. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, for years, I've watched politics on and off for years, and, I mean, it was always like a joke 2 and 3 years ago how he's drunk all the time.
Well. Yeah.
Well, it's a political joke. I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
Well, on TV.
He does cry easily.
I just want to make a comment. I was watching David Schuster.
Yes.
On the last show, and I just want to make a comment because I've watched him for years too, and my friends have sisters in college, and I guess he's really popular in dorms.
He's dreamy.
Dorm rooms. Well, people have pictures of him like girls do in their dorm rooms.
Wow.
I can't wait to meet him about that.
Yes. Politics is, I'm just a housewife. My friends hear stories about college, but we're not there,
A political geek Tiger Beat.
Sean Cassidy of the political world.
Oh, that's awesome, Christine.
They were talking about religion on the last show.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to make a comment. It seems like all the Republican ministers, the evangelical people.
Yeah.
Their ministers are more like Glenn Beck, like they were taught. You know, they probably had ministers like Glenn Beck in their churches.
Right.
You know, I'm Lutheran, so I just had a pastor, a regular, he didn't do anything but read out the Bible. He didn't, act like Glenn Beck. And I right. think if you're raised with, you don't know the difference, you know. But people that have, you know, religious parents that are taught in a traditional way from their grandparents are different than, I think, born again people
right.
who,
you
know,
they
don't.
I don't know much about.
They don't have, well, either you have parents and grandparents and great grandparents who all, you know, taught you, or you had like
right.
a minister, you know, you were just brought into a church and, oh, I sure. don't know anything about religion and Glenn Beck's teaching me.
Right.
I just think
I don't know
most
much,
of,
I don't know much
most
about
of
Lutheranism.
The Republicans are like that, huh?
I don't know much about Lutheranism except that you have really good hot dishes.
Yeah, lots
it's
of casseroles.
Like, well, it's either your traditional Catholic, your traditional Methodist, your traditional Lutheran. It's all from Catholic, but
wow.
Lutheran.
Oh, it's a, okay.
I'm Swedish.
They're like the Protestant offshoots
totally,
of Catholicism.
There you go. Well, I'm as you know, I was a practicing Catholic. I got so good I don't have to practice anymore.
Sure.
I'm professional now.
Yeah.
By the way, well, take your organ out for me if you don't mind.
Right away, Ms.
Miller. Religion, because there's
that's easy to do on Pants Free Friday.
Yes, it is. You're much quicker than usual. Okay, since she brought up crazy right-wing preacher, former Navy chaplain, same-sex marriage is like crucifying Jesus.
Huh?
Makes the baby Jesus cry.
Not at all like
no,
that.
No, it's not.
It's former Navy chaplain and anti-LGBT activist Gordon Klingenschmidt.
Oh, him.
Klingenschmidt. I wonder if he knows the Einspabos.
What does Klingenschmidt mean in German?
Someone who makes blades.
Ooh. Oh.
Yes. Ooh. Very sharp things.
Oh. Ironically, his point's not very sharp.
Hey, you see what you did there.
Okay. He argued same-sex marriage and its growing approval in the U.S. is hastening the end times. Destruction of the earth.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. No, that'd be global warming. Yeah.
And people who
Fukushima.
People who vote to support same-sex unions are ultimately the same as those who voted to crucify Christ. Who said nothing about homosexuality. Okay, during Klingenschmidt had been on I'm taking this some. He was on some
Klingenschmidt!
Schultz! From the main gate! Klingenschmidt is here!
Not General Klingenschmidt. My God!
Okay, so he had been on this same, he was on some radio show, and he had claimed that LGBT rights and same-sex marriage were going to suffer a stinging rebuke from the U.S. electorate in 2012. He's like the Dick Morris of preachers. He's very, very wrong.
Mitt's going to win in a landslide, and then I'm going to lose 140 pounds.
Okay, all those who condone same-sex marriage deserve destruction just as much as people getting married. Pac-Man asked whether or not acts prohibited in Romans, like eating shellfish and women wearing their hair short, contribute equally to the destruction of Earth. Or
good
if
point.
Homosexuality is special in
it's
that regard.
Question. Slacks.
The pastor called that a common fallacy that homosexuals use.
Right.
Oh? Did he elaborate?
Oh, well. Yes, he did. He said New Testament Christians, he argued, are exempt from all four of the Old Testament strictures, three of which have to do with food, and one, he said, against sexual immorality.
According to whom?
Who chose the,
that's convenient.
Yeah, who chose the exceptions?
Reverend Klingenschmidt. Yeah.
Okay. Reverend Klingenschmidt.
It was my understanding that it was kind of an all-or-none thing.
Yes, right.
He's written a self-published book. You might want to know. The Demons of Barack Hussein Obama.
I have to say, we get sent a lot of self-published books here at the Stephanie
yes.
Miller Show.
Yes, yeah. I publish this myself. Would you like to have me on?
No.
The former chaplain bills himself as an expert exorcist.
Oh, what?
Capable
Sorry, what?
Of curing gay people by driving out the demons that possess him. So there is a job waiting for him in Marcus Bachman's clinic.
Does it involve hitting a pillow with a tennis racket?
What are you supposed to say when you hit the pillow? I forget.
Mother, why did you do this to me?
That's hilarious. All right.
The video has like etched itself in my
this
brain.
This is the guy who degays homosexual men by cuddling with them.
Right.
Yes.
Spooning.
Yeah.
Klingenschmidt.
Klingenschmidt.
Yeah, this is our new Ryan's previous.
Klingenschmidt.
He is also, because this is my favorite part, this is the end of the story, it's my favorite part. He also claimed that gay demons can infect animals.
Wow.
Explaining why homosexuality exists in the animal kingdom.
It's gay
demons.
Well,
that's convenient, because a lot of people have said, how come it exists in every species? I've said that before.
Where does
I see because of gay demons.
Where does it say that in the Bible?
I think Fred has been infected with a gay demon. Just saying.
That's why those raccoons keep coming around.
Fred is just, he's a little more infectionate with, you know, my guy friends is all I'm saying.
So you're saying
he always has a guilty look like he was just in the park getting, you know.
What do you think of that?
Well, that happens a lot.
He always does. He looks like he was... Okay. All right.
So you're saying Fred's a little bit of a whore?
A little bit of a man whore.
Man whore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Spreads his legs for anyone.
Max, on the other hand, he's super straight. And I love both of my sons equally. Max is super straight. Mm.
Max plays football.
There's one female friend I have. Max goes right like it's the Ark of the Lost Covenant. He's just like a laser guided.
Okay.
Right to the
area.
Crotch rocket, little nose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, take your organ back out.
Okay.
That's easy to do. Bears repeating one more time because of Reverend
Klingenschmitt.
Klingenschmitt.
My fear, I can walk.
Very good.
Scare you,
man. I can walk.
Oh boy. Okay. Because I just thought this was awesome. I've read this a couple times, but gay marriage and marijuana both legalized on the same day.
That's right.
Leviticus 20:13. If a man lies with another man as he lays with a woman, he should be stoned.
Everybody must get stoned.
We've been interpreting it wrong all these centuries.
Aw.
Everybody must. That's my point. Okay. Let's go to Wayne in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Mama, how are you? Love your show.
Thank you.
The truth is eminently refreshing, I would have to tell you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, as to your last reference to the right wing, did you ever notice, or is it just me, that as they try to bring fascism to America, it comes wrapped in the flag and carrying the cross?
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
and did you notice also, what I really called about was John McCain.
Yes.
I feel so sorry for John McCain.
It's not the policy.
He's not the policy. Such a grumpy old man. He's senile, and he should
Well, you know,
be
I felt bad for Mitt Romney for a second until he talked again, and then I realized...
He should wander away into his old folks' home and drool his pablum onto his own bib instead of all over us.
Oh, dear. All right. Well...
I expect you'll want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card.
Sir, this card has expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
Okay, that's funny. I was just about to ask you for that, and then you just played it.
Wow.
We share a brain.
We've been working together for almost 20 years.
It's kind of sick.
I know.
You complete me.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Not like that's a good thing.
Well, back when you were a lad with no guns.
Dana and Marilyn, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So I have my girlfriend Nancy here, my sexy liberal girlfriend, her first time watching. So
woo-hoo!
I'm hoping we can give her a
woo!
Shout out.
Woo!
Woo! Okay. Woo, Nancy. Hey, I just said hey.
And a dog, too.
Dog is also named Nancy?
Who's
Petey's objecting. I wanted to be the first. We wanted to be the first official Nina Turner Rocks fans of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Get out of
my
panties.
Get out of my panties, GOP. He rocks. I just think
your girlfriend's a little trollop. What is going on back there?
She is big trouble. But I just want to say that I think Nina rocks. And what's going on in Ohio? Bill 298. You know, did I fall asleep during the election? And now they're right back on the Planned Parenthood defunding bandwagon.
Yeah.
And the heartbeat bill. You know, they're trying to push that through.
Don't you love Bonaire and others are acting like the election didn't happen?
Yeah.
It's like, really?
Exactly. I mean, are we in a time warp? Were we stoned? Maybe?
Yeah.
Perhaps?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, in the states that voted for
like Maryland.
Yeah, right. That's what's going on. They're high.
Yes.
Rock on. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. General Petraeus testified this morning. I don't know if he's done yet, but Representative Gary Ackerman.
They requested for worldwide security $440 million more than you guys wanted to provide. $250 million in
security
upgrades that you refuse to make in this committee.
In Benghazi.
And then you have the audacity to come here and say, why wasn't the protection of these people provided for? And the answer is because you damn didn't provide it.
Wow.
Woo!
Yes. Go Representative Ackerman.
Yeah. Good for him.
And they responded, humming, 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 humming. I got to go. Got a thing with the guy.
Yeah. Is this irresponsible? Or people like Representative Dana Rohrabacher saying stuff like this?
What is clear is that this administration, including the president himself, has intentionally misinformed, to the American people in the aftermath of this tragedy.
No, sir, it is not clear.
It is clear that you're a bleep stick.
Wow. It's clear the president lied. Really? So there's no need for any kind of investigation or anything.
No, because he knows.
Yeah, because it's, right. Representative Rohrabacher.
President Obama has the gall to float the name as possible Secretary of State, the name of the person who is the actual vehicle used to misinform the American people during this crisis. The arrogance and dishonesty reflected in all of this is a little bit breathtaking. And it's about time that the President of the United States decide to level with the American people. Let's find out the facts. Let's not stonewall this issue and cover up mistakes.
There's no
stonewalling. As appears to be happening today.
No cover up.
She got the information directly from the CIA,
sir.
And they know full well. This is where this is not unintentional. He got the exact same briefing that Susan Rice did.
Exactly.
Congress got the exact same information from the CIA.
If someone had stuck a camera in Dana Rohrabacher's face right back on that same day,
he would have said
the
here's
same
the latest intelligence
thing.
We have.
Right. Uh-huh.
Dana
Rohrabacher's an a-hole. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Rohrabacher!
I wonder if he knows Klingenschmidt, Reverend Klingenschmidt.
Rohrabacher! Klingenschmidt! Schnell! Sofort!
Ryan Priebus is on the phone for you.
Ryan Priebus!
Thank you.
Ryan Priebus.
Schnauze! Maul halten!
Reince Priebus doesn't have the energy anymore to shout like that.
I don't know.
He doesn't have the energy to dial.
I lost big time.
I'm going to go lie down.
Wow. Well, first of all, the other thing, by the way, FYI, she's not a vehicle. She's a woman, a human being.
Yeah.
The vehicle for misinformation. What? Oh, you are
an idiot.
Okay. Got that out of my
And
crawl.
I can't believe Dana Rohrabacher comes from California.
Ugh. Joe in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling because I'm kind of upset about how unfair the Congress and legislature is. When Congressman Jesse Jackson's been gone so long in a mental health hospital, I think there should be some rule because it would be only fair that a Republican has to go away to a mental health hospital, too. And there's so many good candidates to choose from, but I think John McCain should be the one they send away.
Let's not make fun of him.
Yeah. Representative Jackson is obviously in
and
some...
We wish him well.
Yes, we do.
All right. Marlene in Gary, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Marlene. Marlene! Oh, and by the way, I don't think John McCain is mentally ill. He's just cranky.
Yeah.
Not the policy.
Like old men generally are.
Exactly. all right. What was I? I was going to update you on the classified materials kept by the woman who conducted an affair with David Petraeus. Predates their liaison and does not come from the spy agency. Sources briefed on the investigation told Reuters yesterday.
Okay.
The finding appears to bolster assertions by both Petraeus and his
lava.
I just like when people use that term in a news story.
Lava.
His biographer slash lava.
His good thing.
His boot.
His thing.
Yeah.
His good thing. It appears to bolster the assertions by both of them. Their affair did not put national security secrets at risk. So, wow, did you see this?
Kind of put his marriage at risk, but...
Well, Paula Broadwell was reportedly approached about a North Carolina Senate run.
Yeah.
As a Republican. Petraeus rejected the idea.
Yeah,
apparently.
He said no.
He told his boo no. Broadwell told Petraeus that Republican money men approached her about a potential Senate run in North Carolina. Okay, this is
why
one of
her?
Those... Okay, listen to this 6 degrees of scandal separation. So, after running with Lance Armstrong...
What?
Hmm?
Wow.
Paul... She volunteered what happened to at least six new acquaintances at an Aspen conference that evening over drinks. She told a small group she'd been arguing with her mentor.
Lava.
About the direction of her career. Republican money men, she said, had approached her about the Senate run in North Carolina. She was tempted, but Petraeus dismissed the idea.
What qualifications does she have?
She's been running with Lance Armstrong.
Is this now an extramarital doping scandal?
Yes, maybe that's why her eyes are so crazy. She's doping.
Is that why she has such low body fat? What's happening? All the scandals are...
You chicks are so obsessed over her lack of body fat.
It's a doping sex
skinny
ring.
Skinny bitch.
Oh. Okay.
Really?
She's that kind of, you should learn not to compete with me. That kind of, you know what I mean? She's just very, like, look at my arms. You don't have to wear sleeveless every time, is all I'm saying. Show off.
It's snowing.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win. Ha!
It's snowing. You should have sleeves.
You know what? Guns. I went running with Gunnar Petraeus. He thought he was going to test me, and I tested him.
That's name dropping. There's nothing. There's all
kinds. I went running with Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
Isn't she like 40 years younger than Petraeus?
20.
Okay.
But who's counting?
Petraeus is 60. So.
Yeah, she's 40. Okay. How do I know all every detail?
Yeah, this is like the Andrea Macris thing for you.
Right? I know. I hardly get anything right. I can't pronounce anything.
Right.
But I know every detail from the Bill O'Reilly phone sex scandal.
Right.
Ask me anything. Okay. Glenn in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Glenn.
Well, hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi, Chris, Jim.
Hello.
Hey, I got a new syndrome. It's called OBS, Obama Beatdown Syndrome.
Okay.
And the founding members of the new club that they belong to are John McCain and Mitt Romney. They belong to the OBC club.
Oh, the sore losers club. Yeah.
I'm down with OBC.
Yeah, you know me.
I think that they're both just bitter as hell that they got beat by a black man.
Oh, I know. Well, I don't even know if it's just the icing. That's just the black icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Getting beaten is bad enough, but yeah. All right. You know what? We officially enjoy ourselves way too much.
I think so.
We enjoy ourselves. We enjoy each other. It's really kind of gotten sick. Okay.
By the way, there's a great story on Truth Out. Remember back during the scandal, you know, election fraud days, 2004. I said we need to learn to hack it back.
Yes.
Somebody has. It's a group called the Protectors who took down Orca and Rose's
plans.
Allegedly.
Okay. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's just great. Great honor.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back. We got Louis Black coming up.
Yep.
We got to have Jackie's Healthcare Corner. We got all kinds of stuff.
Holy cow.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Like Greg did on the GOP idea of compromise. Steph, with apologies to your friend Rob Reiner in his movie The Princess Bride, the GOP keeps using the word compromise. I don't think
it means... What do you think it means?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, their idea of compromise is we lose in a landslide and then you... And
you do what we want.
Our Republican losing presidential candidate's tax plan. That's compromise. There you go. How about that? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How about we stay just as obstructionist as we were before the election and pretend it didn't happen? How about that? All right. Tony in Tennessee with a brief complaint. Staff, can I be so bold as to make a suggestion? Can you get a larger garbage can, please? It kills me to see you struggle with that little can. It's true. Is there a possibility that I could get... If people see me trying to get all my recycle bin...
That's the recycle bin. That's not a trash can.
Well, it's not big enough. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tony, for looking out for me. I appreciate it. All right. Okay. Wow. I love the headline. Republicans after Gifts comment, get off the stage, Mitch.
Mitch.
Mitch. I don't even know his name anymore.
That's what Dave Letterman calls him. Yeah.
Mitch.
Mitch.
God. First of all, what a doofus. Apparently he didn't know there were reporters on the conference call.
Right.
But this guy just doesn't learn. He basically was doubling down on the 47% comments that got him in so much trouble in the first place. And, like almost everything else he said in his campaign, completely untrue. I kept trying to unpack what he said, and it's like, nobody's getting free health care. What is he talking about? It just doesn't, it didn't make, oh, look, did you hear, this here he was again yesterday. Here we go.
What I would do if I were a Democrat running 4 years from now, I'd say, you know what, dental care ought to be included in Obamacare. Immigration we can solve, but the giving away free stuff is a hard thing to compete with.
seriously, this is from Salon. Wrote a great piece about the Sore Losers Club.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, isn't it, first of all?
Crybabies, sore losers.
Yeah, as Sean Hannity would say.
And did say.
Yes, and did say. That Romney's still disparaging Obama's coalition behind closed doors all but confirms his campaign trail pleadings were insincere. It also reinforces the worst image of Romney as a sneering plutocrat who has contempt for the common man. Mainly, it's just bad form. Romney was roundly defeated last week, and the man who defeated him has now publicly saluted him twice. This is the time for Romney to show grace, humility, and maybe some humor, too. Instead, he's coming across like a sore loser, one who'd rather make excuses than give his opponent any real credit. I mean, isn't it just incredible ego?
Yeah.
You know where all that came from now. It's our turn. And remember Ann Romney saying, this man does not fail. It's like he can't get in his mind around what happened. And so, these are like the excuses of a sore loser. The same can be said for Romney's running mate, Paul Ryan. The president should get credit for achieving record-breaking turnout numbers from urban areas, he said. First of all, once again, completely not true.
Mm-hmm.
This too smacks of sore loserdom, Salon writes. Ryan's ticket lost in swing states without major cities like Iowa and New Hampshire, won another key battleground, Virginia, by racking up massive margins in affluent suburbs. And if Ryan was using urban as a substitute for black, he's off the mark there, too. Sure, Obama received overwhelming support from an unusually energized African-American electorate, but he won plenty of states with small to non-existent black populations. The Obama victory last week was far broader than Ryan's comments suggest and rooted not just in the demographics, but also in a very basic advantage on most of the issues that mattered to voters. As with Romney, this is bad form, the sort of thing that might sound good to conservative diehards, but comes across as tone deaf to just about everyone else. Yes! Oh, here's some fun facts. Urban areas, you mean like Janesville, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Hometown of Paul Ryan. Would you like the fun facts there?
Okay.
Here we go. Only 37% of Ryan's hometown voted for him and his running mate. 62% of the Janesville vote went to President Obama. That gritty urban area of Janesville, Wisconsin, is that what you mean? Eddie Munster?
The hood, as he calls it.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Ugh. Anyway, now Republican critics of Mitt Romney have had enough of the party's failed presidential nominee. I think they'd had enough of him a long time ago.
Yeah.
After Romney told donors his loss last week was due to gifts President Obama and Democrats bestowed on women and minorities. What? Republicans are essentially coming together in a collective, go away, Mitt.
Yeah.
For conservatives and Republicans trying to make the GOP friendlier to those groups, Romney's comments have not been well received, to say the least. Romney isn't just wrong. Romney's theory isn't just wrong. It's pernicious, wrote the conservative columnist in the Daily Caller. Here's hoping he finally rides off into the political sunset. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, we know, excoriated Romney for his absolutely wrong remarks. Anna Navarro, a Republican strategist. Livid at Romney saying Obama won because he offered minorities gifts, she wrote. And if he didn't alienate Hispanics enough while running, look in the mirror, Mitt.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. Okay, Bobby Jindal.
This is completely unhelpful. This is not where the Republican Party needs to go. Look, if you want voters to like you, the first thing you've got to do is to like them first. And it's certainly not helpful to tell voters that you think their votes were bought. That's certainly not a way to show them that you respect them, you like them. We need to stop talking down to voters.
Wow.
Yikes.
Even Kenneth the Page is making sense now.
Yikes. Kenneth the Page part two. Bobby Jindal.
I actually believe people that are on food stamps, on government assistance, don't want to be there. They're there because they don't have the ability to go get better paying jobs. And it's our responsibility to adopt policies that grow the economy, that give them the education, that give them the opportunities to have a better quality of life.
Yikes. Republicans starting to make sense now. Right. David Frum held up Romney's latest comments as emblematic of his failed campaign. That's what I thought. I thought this shows you exactly why you lost by such a huge electoral landslide. He wrote, Mitt Romney was very wrong to see 2012 as a referendum on stuff. It was a referendum on the question which candidate would do a better job promoting prosperity and creating jobs. That was the referendum that Romney and the Republican Party lost. We lost both because voters did not believe in the job-creating magic of upper-income tax cuts and because voters were unpersuaded that the GOP even cared much about job creation as opposed to wealth preservation. David Frum, Republican strategist.
Holy
hello.
Cow.
Hello. Yikes. Yeah, I love the last comment about the Latino vote. It's like, not only did you probably just lost it for the next decade. Thanks, Mittens. Romney's re-upping
on... I like firing people.
Romney's re-upping on 47% could make it harder for the party to move forward. However, the gifts comment getting play in the Hispanic media, ensuring one of the key groups the GOP is hoping to woo, will be well aware of what Republicans are saying is Romney's final presidential misstep. He's gaffing even after he's done.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
What a doofus.
He can use some gaffer's tape over his mouth.
Hey, with a flurg. The White House weighed in saying Romney's gifts comments suggest he misread the election results. You think?
Ooh, yeah.
That view of the American people of the electorate and of the election is at odds with the truth of what happened last week, said Jay Carney. Thank you. Haley Barbour at the Republican Governor's Convention.
We've got to give our political organizational activity a very serious
enema?
Proctology exam. I think that's the only... we need to look everywhere, is my point.
Yeah, you need...
Talking to you, Carl Rove.
Some electoral colon blows.
Yes.
That you need.
Oy.
And you need, less of this guy. Maine GOP head suspects voter fraud because dozens of black people voted.
Dozens?
Dozens?
The outgoing Maine Republican Party Chairman Charlie Webster plans
probably
to
good
investigate
thing he's outgoing.
Claims that dozens of black people that were unfamiliar to municipal officials voted November 6th in
that's what
rural Maine.
Dozens of black people.
Mm-hmm.
So basically city officials said, I don't know anybody who knows any black people in town.
He said in some parts of the state there were dozens of black people.
Dozens?
Dozens. Nobody in town knew them.
Where did they come from?
Black people live in Maine, too, you know.
Let's see. Mitt Romney. Okay, Barack
Don't
Obama.
Don't they know you can't get
won 397,754 votes for 56% of the Maine vote. Mitt Romney won 290,437 votes for 40.9%. So that would mean 107,000 blacks sneaked in and voted illegally in little rural towns in Maine?
In the middle of the night.
Nicely done. Nicely done, my friends.
God. Wow.
Yeah, I love this. What is this thing, progress? Webster's methodology is, to say the least, flawed. Not knowing any black people isn't evidence that they don't exist.
Right.
And having a piece of mail bounce back is not proof that voters lied intentionally about their address.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. Oh, this is a sneaky plan, too. He said, let's see. What did he say? Oh, he's going to what? I think he's going to mail people a letter. He's going to mail them a letter C. That's how he's going to catch the sneaky black people.
Ooh.
Trying to vote in rural Maine towns. Wow. All right. Yikes. 16 minutes after the hour. So there's that guy. Or 16 minutes after the hour, comedian Lewis Black coming up, and then Representative Peter Welch as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. And you didn't think that I would hear it. Well, hear you talking like that, getting everybody fired up. Cause there ain't no hollaback girl. Ain't no hollaback
girl. Ha ha. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour. Comedian Lewis Black coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of black people,
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just laughing. This guy, the head of the Republican Party in Maine, I just love this. This is America's funniest racist pranks. As I mentioned, he thinks there might have been voter fraud in his state because no one in town knows anyone who's black. But black voters came in to vote on Election Day. Charlie Webster, that's his name. He aims to find those who committed the alleged fraud. get this by sending thank you notes to voters and seeing if they're returned to sender. See, that's how he's going to catch the sneaky.
That's not proof of anything.
Literally dozens of black people voted, and this apparently is a scandal. Mind. He went on to say, I'm not politically correct, and maybe I shouldn't have said these voters were black, but anyone who suggests that I have bias toward any race or group, frankly, that's sleazy. You're just sleazy if you think that's...
Uh-huh.
Oh,
wow.
It's funny. Okay. Jim in New Hampshire, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I just wanted to thank you and Current for being a voice of reason during this mad election.
Thank you.
I thought we had heard the last of the midiot, because there was no joy in Romneyville when the mighty Mitt struck out.
No.
I think the Republicans ought to point those douche nozzles back at themselves. Because with the when I was growing up, the America, love it or leave it. Well, if you don't like it, leave it.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. We've suggested the libertarian paradise of Somalia,
yeah,
for instance.
Mm-hmm. No gun control. No laws of any kind.
No. You don't have big government up in your face.
Just be.
Yeah.
Do what you will.
No stoplights. No stoplights. No fire departments.
Just go.
Yeah,
just go when you want to. Betty in South Carolina. Hi, Betty. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Betty. Go ahead.
Yes, Stephanie. I was calling in about the episode in Benghazi. I don't take death lightly, but it seems that there's a whole lot of rhetoric going on about this episode. So,
yep.
Chris Anderson was appointed ambassador. He was asked if he wanted to accept this post. Nobody forced him to take this post. This was a matter of choice.
Right.
And we have servicemen over in Afghanistan and Iraq and different places, and they are being attacked every day.
Right. And Betty, that's the sad thing, is he really loved the people of Libya and really believed, you know, they were ready for democracy. They loved him back. I mean, mm-hmm. You saw people, you know, people there, you know, protesting with his picture after this whole tragedy.
Yep.
All right, Eric Cantor talking about the Petraeus situation.
The information that was sent to me sounded as if there was a potential for a national security vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Eric Holder, the Attorney General, on the whole situation.
We follow the facts. We do not share outside the Justice Department, outside the FBI, the facts of ongoing investigations. We made the determination as we were going through the matter that there was not a threat to national security.
Yeah. So, by the way, Sean Hannity blames him for everything. It's always
Eric Holder's
fault. Sean Hannity show, it's always his fault.
Because
they didn't get him for Fast and Furious. He must be, this must be his fault. All right. Mm. Oh, there he is, comedian Louis Black.
Yeah!
Woo! You must be so happy clappy as you normally are after this election.
I'm just happy it's over, and now we have a physical cliff. I'd forgotten about the physical cliff.
Yes.
And they didn't, you know what I found astonishing? That they didn't talk about the physical cliff. That it was never discussed. And not even in any of the discussions about the discussions.
Right.
Before the discussions, did they discuss the physical cliff.
You,
so how come no one brought it up during that camp? Not one of the questioners, not nothing. And then literally the day after, oh, we're at a physical cliff. Really?
Yes, you said it sounds like an event from the X Games.
Yes,
physical
exactly.
Cliff. But you made a really good point. You said, here's hoping that both parties starts talking to each other and stops talking to us.
No, I believe that. I mean, I'm a strong believer. They had better shut up soon, or I'm going to do something bad, because I can't stand it. I really can't stand it. The Democrats have to learn how to talk, and the Republicans have to learn how to stop talking.
Yes.
It really is. It's appalling.
But, I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like some Republicans have learned anything from what happened last week. John Boehner's saying, oh, no, I'm not going to do the, you know, middle-class tax cut compromise.
No, he's in, you know, well, John Boehner is, first off, partly it would help him if he doesn't allow them to shoot him in high def, because his face looks weird. It's starting to look, the orange was creepy enough, but without the orange, he looks creepier. And,
what do you make of, I mean, there is a little bit of a national freakout going on. Every single state now has a petition to secede.
Good.
From the Union. Yes, well.
Good, let him go.
Yeah.
I'm not. New York isn't. And then we can start invading them again and getting them back to what they should be, which is territories.
Yeah, there you go.
Lewis Black.
And then they can try to become states again.
Yeah.
Because they're going to do really well on their own.
Were you surprised by the election results?
No. I knew that. I really did. Yeah. That's weird because I'm never right. And this time I was. I kept telling people, don't worry about it as long as Ohio is holding. Those numbers never changed. Never changed. And once I saw that, I went, okay, ball game's over.
Well, don't you think like that's further evidence of why they shouldn't have been president and vice president and how completely clueless Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan seemed?
Well, it's unbelievable. You know, I mean, look, Ryan is not only clueless, I think he's crazy.
Yeah.
Because if you look at his eyes, he had the eyes of a wolf that hadn't eaten in 3 days.
He's got zombie eyes, yeah.
And plus, any person who is basing their political philosophy on Ayn Rand is clinically insane. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I read Ayn Rand when I was 16. Now, that's a really good book to read when you're 16 and you're trying to form your ideas about the individual versus the group, or as we used to say, collective, but you can't say that anymore. So the individual or the group, and that's a great thing at 16. But you realize by the time you're 17, that once you come to your conclusion, that you can't really base it on that book because it's fiction.
Right.
These are fictional characters. She made the world up. That's how come it reads the way it does, schmuck. And in the end, in the Fountainhead, this guy actually blows up his own building, which makes him what? A terrorist.
Yes. There was something great about them putting forth a Catholic candidate that was supposed to help with that vote who worships an atheist.
It was perfect.
Yeah, it really was. And it didn't even take his home state. And I loved him. He said the president only won because he got urban areas. Urban areas, as we were saying, like Janesville, his hometown, which Obama won by a large margin.
It's extraordinary. I mean, it's Wisconsin, and he forgets. I mean, like as Kathleen Madigan so aptly put out, he doesn't look like anybody from Wisconsin. Okay? I love Wisconsin, and I trust Wisconsin. And the one thing Wisconsin doesn't care about is health. Well, I've always been big. This is the first state that I ate a hamburger that was fried in a stick of butter.
Nice.
Of butter.
Awesome.
Nice.
The 2013 running on NFL tour, Lewis Black. Go see him. The most hilarious man in the world. Lewis, love you, honey.
Love you. Take care, Stephanie. Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, you too, honey. There we go. Lewis Black. Love him. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Thank God it's Friday!
Is Lewis Black back on the air?
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Current TV, we have a Currently Feeding the Need initiative.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the Farm Bill and much more with Representative Peter Welch, who joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know what? I have to ask you first about, we've just been talking about John Boehner rejecting the president's request to extend the middle class tax cut. Don't you feel like here we go again? Like the election didn't happen, right?
Well, I'm fearful of that. You know, I actually think it's a little more complicated because I think that my sense, Boehner would like to reach an agreement because he understands the real world, and there'll be yet another huge price for his conference. But as you remember, when he was negotiating the grand bargain with the president during the debt ceiling negotiations and was willing to include revenue, he went back to his conference, and they literally cut his legs off.
Yep.
So he is still in that position. And that's the dilemma. You know, the fiscal cliff stuff is extremely important, but this is the moment of opportunity where we can have revenue be a very significant component of any debt reduction deal, and it has to be. And the president is on strong ground, and he's holding firm, and rightly so, because he campaigned very specifically on new taxes on folks earning more than $250,000. He won, and half the Romney supporters in exit polls said, you know, that makes sense to them. So Boehner's got a problem because his conference doesn't support that, but he's trying to lead them to political reality.
Well, that's the thing that it seems to me like it is really time to drop the talking points when you've just lost an electoral landslide, right? I mean, here he is again today talking about job creators.
That's exactly right. You know, it's time to get specific and leave behind the vague campaign platitudes. And here's the challenge. You know, the president has put a very specific plan on the table. Above 250, you go back to the Clinton rates. You can do the math on it, figure out how much it is, about $800 billion to $1 trillion. Boehner's talking about, yes, we can have new revenues, but he is vague. He says, well, we'll do tax code reform. The problem with that is that he's got to get specific. You know, show me the money. That's really what the president needs to ask of Mr. Boehner. Well, because once you get into the tax code changes, in all likelihood, what they're talking about is taking away the health care deduction or taking away the mortgage interest deduction in ways that would hammer the middle class.
Well, Representative, I guess it doesn't make much sense to me because they talk about compromise, but then the compromise I've heard them offer is Mitt Romney's plan that was just roundly rejected by the American people. And that, as you said, and the president has said, the math doesn't work. You can't
get
that kind of revenue by cutting loopholes.
You put it very nicely. You're exactly right. They're offering a compromise by letting the president accept the plan that they ran on and lost. Yeah,
that's very nice of them. Let's talk about the farm bill. Obviously, we didn't. Once again, Republicans were not helpful on this previously. Tell us where we are on it now.
Well, it's totally up to Eric Cantor and John Boehner whether to put that bill on the floor. You know, we've passed that in the Senate, bipartisan bill. We passed it in the House Agriculture Committee, bipartisan. The bill has a lot of problems. There's a lot to debate, but it also is absolutely essential for instance, in Vermont, dairy. It's important that we have nutrition programs. It's important that we have conservation programs. You know, the conservation programs in the Farm Bill are a major reason that we didn't have another Dust Bowl with this ferocious drought that we had in the Midwest.
Right.
These things are important. There's some things that are controversial. You know, how much should we be paying on price supports? Less, in my view. But the point is, we've got to vote yes or no. All of us should be held accountable for those votes. The one thing we can't defend is not even voting at all. So we've got to bring this bill to the floor, and a number of us are doing everything we can to persuade Mr. Boehner and Mr. Cantor to put it on the floor. Incidentally, this farm bill, whatever criticisms folks make, it actually saves money. It's good for the taxpayers and provides, in the case of dairy, more security.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it does more. It provides nutritional programs. It helps. They keep talking about jobs. It helps small farming businesses provide jobs, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's got farm to school programs. There's provisions in there to try to grow our organic farming industry, grow local. You know, there's a whole new ethic in farming that young people are pushing, where it's local production, it's best practices. It's not so energy intensive. You know, it's not all these pesticides and chemicals that they're pushing. And this farm bill helps push us along the way. That's a real economic and nutrition benefit if we can incorporate more of those policies into our farm bill.
Representative Welch, what is the dairy safety net? I must ask.
Well,
because I know you've been trying to get a fix for that.
Well, there is none now, but here's what the change was in our bill. It's called dairy stabilization. Mm-hmm. And what it does is if the price of milk goes down under the current situation, the only way farmers can try to make up the lost income is by increasing production. And when they do that, the price of milk goes down even more.
Right.
So dairy stabilization sends a market signal to farmers where the price starts to go down and farmers are encouraged to reduce production to stabilize the price. And the benefit of it is that by making adjustments, much like Apple Computer would make if they were manufacturing more iPods than people were buying, mm-hmm. they would just cut down on that production. It allows farmers to get more price stability and taxpayers to save money because the farmers will actually lower production somewhat and stabilize that price. So it's an insurance program that the farmers pay into and the taxpayers pay into, but it actually is less expense to the taxpayers than the current safety net program for farmers, which is called MILC, or M-I-L-C.
Oh, awesome. All right. Representative, good luck on all of this. I'm hoping that, I don't know what your prediction is for the fiscal cliff, which you're going to deal with first, but how do you think that's going to play out?
Not well so far. I mean, I think that the most important thing is that the president stand firm in his campaign position, that revenues have to be a significant part of it. You know, he's flexible, and he wants a deal, and he'll probably do things to get it that some Democrats won't like. But where he's holding firm and understands the urgency is to have revenue be a significant part of it. And whether we get the resolution before December 31st or January 15th,
right,
and are, quote, over the cliff, it's far more important for the long-run benefit of this country that we get a good, durable deal as opposed to the date by which we achieve it.
Do you join some Democrats like Senator Durbin and Patty Murray in saying, you know, if we have to go over the cliff, let's go over it, and then the Bush tax cuts expire, and then there's a whole other conversation?
I do. I mean, that's the only way we can get to where we need to be. It's not, none of us are advocating that we go over the cliff. We all hope that we can reach an agreement beforehand, but we don't want to sell out. So if we sell out on revenues, which is probably what the Republicans would require,
right,
then we're going to have a dead end situation that we just that'll dig the hole deeper. So if we have to wait until after the first, by the way, it's a slope, it's not a cliff.
Right.
We'll be able to put legislation on the floor that would allow everybody in Congress to vote for a tax cut at that point for 100% of the people, because even the top 2%. Who would go back to the Clinton rates would still enjoy the lower rate on their income up to $250,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, let's hope, because obviously we would have all the leverage if
that's right,
we do, in fact, go over the slope or the cliff or the dirt hole or whatever it is you said. But,
right.
but anyway, good luck with all of it. Vermont, where the cheddar is delicious and the congressmen are awesome. Representative Peter Welch of the great
see
state
later.
Of Vermont. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
All right, there we go.
A congressman.
Congressman, what did I say?
Is awesome.
Is
because
awesome.
He's the only,
right,
only congressman.
Because it's a teeny tiny state.
It is. They have more senators than they have congressmen, actually. Yeah.
But Wayne in South Carolina. Hi, Wayne.
Hello, Ms. Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I got just a couple thoughts. One, I'm going to eventually read you this short email that I got from a, I thought was a friend of 55 years, but it turns out he was just an acquaintance because... You'll probably get a kick out of it when I read it to you. But
is it long, Wayne? Give me the gist of it. It's a Republican friend that you lost because of the election, right?
Yeah. That's. But he no longer wants to be my friend or have anything to do with me because I might have voted for Obama. So,
yikes!
55 years down the road, but hey.
Wow. You know, that is sad. That is really sad, yeah. Wayne. I'm sorry about that.
I'm
not a big fan of the reading of the letters on the air, but thank you
yeah.
for that. You've saying that a lot of people have been saying that on Facebook, losing friends. Are we going to collectively regain our minds at some point, or are people going to stop spinning on their backs?
Herp derp.
In the... that's the best argument I've heard.
A lot of my gay friends on Facebook are saying, if you vote for Romney, you can defriend me now. And I'm like, guys... Stop it.
Oh,
you know, just, it's...
Okay. Carol in Pennsylvania.
Just one election.
Carol, yeah, and the Republic, if the Republics withstood 8 years of George Bush, we can withstand this.
Exactly.
Carol in Pennsylvania. Hi, Carol.
Good morning, and thank you for the forum that you and your whole team give to all of us. Without it, I think I would lose my sanity. My statement is this. The last time we had this much hate and vitriol, we lost the president, and I guess you know who that is, Kennedy. I'm just so afraid for President Obama.
You know, Carol, I heard somebody say that on the radio yesterday, I hope he survives, and I'm these 4 years.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they meant it literally, but I believe
well,
me.
Well, we've got to quadruple the Secret Service protection because there's a lot of crazies out there, and they're
Carol,
all armed.
Right. I do agree with you that, I mean, since when have we seen every state sign a petition for secession? I mean, this is... There is, you're right, there is some really bad mix of racism and just, you know, I don't know what, hatred.
Stupidity.
Yeah, stupidity. What else? What else is thrown in there? A little bit of dill? Oh, I'm sorry, that's my sauerkraut recipe. No, but you know what my point is. It is, it's just
dill-ween?
Anger, it's spite, it's a toxic mix. She's right. All right, 45 minutes, and dill will not make it better.
No, it won't.
45 minutes after the hour.
That's a big effing dill.
Right back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Let's do it, let's do it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Do it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Carla in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. Go ahead.
I'm calling you from the great blue state of Michigan.
Woohoo!
Yes, the Jennifer Granholm state, by
Yay.
The way.
Yay. Go ahead.
I was calling because I'm calling you from my hospital room.
Oh, are you okay?
Yes. And I love this show. I started watching it in here, and one of the nurses text was telling me about it. And so I started watching it, and I love this show.
Oh, thank
but she
you.
Was also sharing with me about the states wanting to secede from the union. And
right.
I think that's what really prompted me to call because, you know, I went all my life hearing about how far we've come with racial issues in this country. And I guess that's only the case when you don't have a black president.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just disappointing, and that's why I love your show and shows Aww. Like it, because, you know, your show is an example of how far we have come.
Well, Carla, and there wasn't one petition during the Bush years, and, you know, a lot of people feel that, you know, he was a war criminal, frankly.
Absolutely.
You know, and there should have been and should have been prosecuted.
Absolutely, and no one complained about the succeeding of, you know, no one wanted to succeed or anything. And you and I both know that Gore got the screws. And
Yep. I'll listen, I you and I said on Al Gore's network. All right, thank you, Carla. Appreciate it. Get better. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what it's doing today, shall we? Fred Barnes on the Brit Bear Show. Fred Barnes.
Look, this is the real Barack Obama. He wants to raise taxes on the wealthy. He doubled down on it. Look, this is what his second term, what he wants to do. I don't think he cares about the economy. He wants to raise taxes on the wealthy.
What?
Okay.
Yes, he ran on the rich paying their fair share, and he won.
Yeah.
Just FYI. Yes. So GTK.
Big time.
Okay. All right, Rush Limbaugh on the...
I have waxed eloquent here on this program. I have longed for the day where people understand what liberalism is ideologically.
Uh-huh.
I have begged the Republican Party to campaign on ideology and to explain to people what liberalism is
by
pointing liberals out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to see liberalism? Look at Detroit. You want to see liberalism? Look at California. You want to see liberalism?
California.
Look at Cuba.
Another C
word.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Liberal
yes,
dictatorship.
I think you did. And guess what? We won. And you lost. Neener. Okay. Glenn Beck.
Thank you, non-choir. You've just given our permission to Barack Obama and his evil, nasty crew of liars to lie to our faces for another 4 years. To put our country, our freedoms, all of our hard-earned money,
Hard-earned.
Our businesses,
Glenn Beck's money,
all at stake, so we could be more comfortable with lies and deceit and deception. Congratulations to the 62 million Americans who made the worst choice in the history of the planet.
Wow. I can understand
hilarious.
Why the ratings plummeted to around zero after he took over my time slot in San Francisco. Really? Who wants to listen to that? Okay.
God, all that negativity.
That's really fun. Okay, Greg Gutfield on the five.
This is called a hate fact. It's a fact that people hate. Look, everybody loves Santa Claus on Christmas morning, but no one wants the credit card in January. Until that bill is due, which will probably come in Mandarin, the cool guy is always going to win until you see the bill. And it was a contest between two personalities. The generous cool guy, who doesn't have the bill, and the stingy white stiff. That's it. That's what
right.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, the Bush tax cuts were meant to expire 2 years ago, and you're still bitching about it.
Yeah. And you know who set them to expire? George Bush.
George Bush. Yeah. Your guy.
That's why they call the Bush.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Gary Bernstein. on Hannity?
You know, they have decided that they want to take a different sort of approach to the Middle East. They want to take what they perceive is to be even-handed. But what they're doing is encouraging, the Obama administration is encouraging radicals to act against America's allies.
Oh.
And America's most important ally in the Middle East is Israel.
Do you think the world radicals were emboldened by our election?
I suspect that they didn't want Governor Romney elected, clearly. They think they're going to get an easier ride from President Obama. So
wow.
I suspect that they were quite pleased with the outcome.
Cogent political analysis. Because, being from Kenya and all. And
there's trouble now, Jim, between Israel and the Palestinians, and that's never happened before.
No, never.
Just
not in the history
Barack Obama
of ever.
Was reelected. Okay. Bill O'Reilly.
Back in 1972, Richard Nixon denied he had anything to do with a low-level political break-in. If the press had not been aggressive, Nixon would have gotten away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the break-in at the Watergate Hotel was not nearly as important as failing to define a terrorist attack to kill four Americans. President Obama made a mistake in not getting ahead of the story.
Mm.
He should have given us the facts weeks ago. He chose not to, and the press let him get away with it.
Oh, come on.
But now the heat's coming down, as it should.
Wow.
First of all...
I heard this on Limbaugh. Worse than Watergate. I'm saying worse than Watergate, my friends. Worse than Watergate. It was a third-rate burglary, my friend.
If I had a nickel for every time the far right said something Obama
did
was
than water,
worse than
yes,
Watergate.
Worse than Watergate. Yeah, clearly. I'm sorry, Jim. What were you going to say?
Well, it can be a terrorist attack that was inspired by that stupid movie.
Which is what
it's
people
not,
on the ground said. That's what I don't get. Where
it's
any
not
of this...
one or the other. Yes.
I don't get where this scandal is coming from.
It's
yes,
a non-scandal.
All these factors have been reported.
I mean, what a dark scandal. Cutting funding for embassy security that Republicans voted for.
How's about that?
Now, there's a scandal.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then see what happens.
Yeah, you know what? In fact, let's play that again. Representative Gary Ackerman of the great state of New York.
They requested for worldwide security $440 million more than you guys wanted to provide. $250 million in security upgrades that you refuse to make in this committee. And then you have the audacity to come here and say, why wasn't the protection of these people provided for? And the answer is because you damn didn't provide it.
Yes,
woo-hoo!
But Congressman Ackerman.
But the president didn't say that it was a terrorist attack right away. Ha, ha, ha.
He you know
defined it wrong.
You know who Congressman Ackerman has brought to you by?
Offense. What? Who?
He's brought to you by Granger today. He's one of the ones getting it done. I get a gold star. Granger with over 900,000 products for the ones who get it done.
Yeah!
Bam! Nothing but Radio Net, my friends. All right. Let's do a quick...
Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites!
Republican U.S. Representative Scott DeJarlis...
Yes.
...testified during divorce proceedings that he and his former wife made a mutual decision for her to have two abortions.
Oh, this is abortion, guys.
Yes. According to the divorce transcripts made public yesterday, he practiced medicine before going to Congress, easily won a second term in Tennessee's conservative 4th district, despite previous revelations he once urged a patient with whom he was having an affair to get an abortion.
Huh.
On his campaign website... He espoused an anti-abortion position, saying all life should be cherished and protected. We are pro-life.
Unless it's some chick that I banged.
His campaign did not return messages seeking comment. He was no in casa.
Wow.
Funny that.
Wow.
Right back on
hypocrisy?
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, Kevin in Rochester, the headphones on my shirt are not plugged into my hoo-ha. Oh, you people are so mature. 6 minutes after the hour.
Well, a wise person did say all the world's answers are in a hoo-ha. All we have to do is listen.
That's right. Silence of the hoo-ha. Okay, 6 minutes after the as my girlfriend, Jodie Foster, who am I dating?
Said. Sure.
Okay.
She appreciates your hoo-ha.
Travis, I'm not kidding. Tell them to shut up about it. Okay, 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You can email us all there, by the way. It's StephanieMiller.com. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, my goodness. Like, oh, Fiscal Cliff in Miami. He's changed his name to Fiscal Cliff.
That's funny.
He was formerly, the artist formerly known as just Cliff in Miami.
Okay.
Some fine Americans noticing some things. Staff, I hardly think it's a coincidence a couple of affiliates are switching to sports right after President Obama won re-election. Yes, from Progressive Radio. It is interesting. I remember the exact same thing happening to your South Florida affiliate. Miami, by the way, where we had really terrific ratings.
He did.
Switching to a sports format right after the president won election in 2008. In 2008, I decided to buy an iPhone, download an internet radio app, and have never looked back. KTLK, our flagship affiliate here in Los Angeles on iHeart.
iHeart Radio.
iHeart Radio. Yeah, there are lots of ways. Lots of ways.
Yes. Tune in radio, you can get it now. ProgressiveVoices.com. You can get that right now.
Technology wins.
You just buried. Whatever. I was doing a big build-up to ProgressiveVoices.com, and you just harshed my buzz as usual. Okay, progressives are listening online or on smartphone apps. I also recommend all your listeners purchase the StephCast, only $7.95 a month if you have a fewer commitment, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Best money I ever spent in Miami.
And we might be this far away from making some sort of announcement about another way you can listen to the Stephanie Miller Show on your iPhone.
Yeah, you know what? You can't stop an idea whose time has come.
Nope.
There's technology, kids.
Yep.
Robert writes the same thing. South Florida was turned into a sports station right after the 2008 election. Yes, and now they have, I think, about a, I don't know, what's a fraction of a iota of the ratings that we had? The sports station there. Okay. The corporate powers that be are forcing people to pay to hear progressive talk. You have to buy a computer, $50 a month online subscription or podcast just to hear opinions and facts from alternative voices. Yes, you would think some people would be interested in, you know, just broadcasting in the public interest, you know, what at least over half the country thinks. Seems our legislators could use the fact you can't hear progressive or democratic voices unless you pay as a premise to at least reserve one station on the dial that could broadcast. Or you could go to progressivevoices.com. It's one of the many ways, as you said. There's a lot of tricky, subversive ways.
They're not even tricky and subversive. They're just a lot of them.
It's like being in occupied France listening to the BBC.
Pirate radio. Kevin writes, Staff, what about those cities that are losing progressive stations? Can anyone access the internet to listen to you and the rest of the progressive shows?
Why yes.
Why?
Absolutely. Just go to ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
That was this ham-handed infomercial sidekick. That's where you were supposed to do your progressivevoices.com plug. Right,
progressivevoices.com.
All right.
Or ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
May I just say, any terrestrial stations interested in making money might do well to jump on the bandwagon. And let me just, I've always tried to give a shout-out. We have a lot of great terrestrial affiliates, including this Clear Channel affiliate right here, KTLK.
Mm-hmm.
How often do I have to record spots?
Lots of
times. We have an awesome fine American sales staff here at Clear Channel Los Angeles. And we're, anyway, so hoorah. Come, join us if you'd like to make money. Join us if you'd like to make money.
But some broadcasters would like to lose money just to try to keep people from hearing the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, here's my favorite excuse I heard. I don't know which station. Said, we lost a lot of money because of the Rush Limbaugh thing, so we have to switch to sports. What? You have to kill the progressive station because Rush Limbaugh called some woman
opened
a
his
slut?
Big yap?
I didn't do it. What?
Yeah.
It's like me hitting Jim.
You're one of those sluts he was talking about.
What?
Save the sluts.
God's sakes. All right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. And I'd like to thank my friend Sean Hannity, who featured me in a... Oh, this is why we must be done away with, because we are left-wing hate merchants.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. That's what he thinks.
Oh, because, Jim, you know how many people commented on Mitt Romney sweating profusely in the third debate?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. What's his name? Albert Brooks said he was going to have to get if he sweated anymore, he'd have to get
a royalty.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of jokes going around. So I said he was sweating like a whore in church.
Yeah. A common
which
phrase.
Which is a common phrase. I was not calling Mitt Romney a whore.
No.
Although.
However. And then a lot of women agreed with me about them being the rapey party because so many of them said.
Made comments about rape.
Right. I think Alec Baldwin, our good friend, tweeted that. He said something about, you know you've had a bad election when someone says the rapey guy lost, and you have to say which one.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's, people agree with me. It's the rape. Okay, So, anyway.
Going to pull back the curtain on left-leaning, hateful rhetoric that is flooding the airwaves, courtesy of liberal talk radio. Let's go to Stephanie Miller.
No. Retweet Richard Murdoch, who says pregnancy from rape is God's will, and got $5,000 from Paul Ryan's PAC. How about that? That's the problem. Wow. That's the problem, John, is it's not just one guy. They have become the rapey party.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah.
Did you see Mitt starts to sweat like a whore in church?
Yeah.
As the debate went on, yes.
Yeah.
He was trying to sound like some weird hybrid hippie with all of his blathering about peace, love, and friendship.
Rapey party, sweating like a whore in church.
Shocking.
Mitt Romney?
Shocking.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a smear movement, basically. And I think conservatives have had this wrong for a long time, because what they've said, Sean, is that, well, we can ignore these guys because they don't have any ratings. Nobody's listening. The truth is, though, is that they've really been able to get their message out a lot more than we ever thought, and I think Election Day showed that. So to ignore these people is a major, major mistake. Forget their ratings. Mm. Pay attention to what they're saying, because oftentimes what you hear on these shows ends up on the smear left websites, et cetera. And, so there's no reason to just disregard this and say, well, they don't have enough people listening.
No, please, talk about us a lot. Yeah.
Gee, I guess somebody's listening. I guess at least you two are listening. That was a
minute and a half of
people,
them giving you a commercial.
A lot
know.
More people listening than the sports stations. I love one time, I told you this story, Sean Hannity actually whined to me at a radio convention because at the time Ed Schultz's radio show was on,
opposite him,
and Ed Schultz ran a lot of ads in the radio trades about every market that he was beating Sean Hannity in, which is true.
Yeah.
Sean's like, that's not fair. He's using one of a couple places I'm in low watt signals.
Sucks to be you, Sean.
Crybabies, sore losers.
All right. That was too much fun. All right. And thanks again, once again, Sean, for the publicity. You're so
painful. Sore losers.
Uprising.
Let's
You're
assume
in a
that
fantasy
you're...
land.
Flashing out.
Crybabies and sore losers.
All right. It's Schechner again, kids. Let's, we got to get the update on the...
Jackie's News.
Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Oh, is it my...
It's your turn now.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
All right, let's first of all, because we'll get to the healthcare stuff. This is more fun. The latest allegations. I just love this headline. Businessman Jill Kelly wanted $80 million to broker a Korea deal. It just didn't smell right.
I know. I know. What was it, the $80 million?
Yeah.
Or the fact that she has absolutely nothing to offer that's worth $80 million?
And he met her at the Republican National Convention in Tampa, apparently.
Yeah, somebody wondered out loud yesterday whether or not she was at the RNC. I mean, granted, she lives in Tampa. It's probably not that difficult for her to attend. But
right.
Somebody said, do you think she went to the convention? The answer is yes.
Yeah. Hmm. This guy said, the businessman said, frankly, I blame General Petraeus for a lapse of judgment. The general should have known better for appointing her. What was she? Honorary counsel?
Honorary counsel.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm. Which is the protection that she what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
She called upon when she called 911 and said, I'm an honorary consul, or I'm a consul and I need diplomatic protection.
Who whips out the word inviolability just like that?
Yeah, I know.
I have inviolability.
She knew that word a little too well.
Get these people off my lawn. That's hilarious. All right. Jackie Schechner, time for Jackie's Healthcare Corner.
You don't want to do the skydiving stuff?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. What's the skydiving
thing? You can't lead people on like that.
I'm sorry. I forgot. Go ahead.
No, there's an article out today from USA Today that apparently Jill Kelly went skydiving with the Special Operations Command Team.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
It was one of the perks of her access, apparently, that there's a program of some sort, which is community outreach to local celebrities, athletes, and the media.
Celebrities?
And she was allowed to participate, yeah.
It's like Paula Broadwell went running with Lance Armstrong, so I don't know what's all... Now it's a sex doping ring scandal. I don't know what's... All the scandals are emerging.
No, it's
aren't
a
they?
Fame whore scandal.
Right?
All these girls are fame whores, just latching on to anybody with any kind of
she's
gonna
have to give
fame.
That all of her Tour de France titles.
And then there's another article about her twin sister having borrowed some $300,000 from a lobbyist, a Defense Department lobbyist, who she lent her the money, and apparently she was unable to pay that back.
What was the money borrowed for? Do we know?
It doesn't say. Okay. It says that the bankruptcy records show that he loaned her $300,000. She couldn't pay it back. It says that they dated at some point. But gosh, that's a heck of a dating gift.
Wow. Jackie Schechner, as you know, I'm a single, elderly, shut-in loser. But these gals have lives I don't recognize. Skydiving, and is running with Lance Armstrong. And how easy is that? Is it that easy to borrow $800,000 and $300,000?
I hang out with you on the weekend. You think I've got some insight into this?
That's my Jackie's lifestyle.
Okay.
I'm with you. Were you doing something wrong?
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. My life is just somewhat less glamorous.
$300,000? Yeah, I got that under the cushions of my couch. Here, let me that.
So let's nominate, healthcare douche nozzle of the day. We have a new entrant. The Denny's, John Metz, owner of 40's Denny's franchises, plans to add the surcharge, a 5% Obamacare surcharge.
The news just reported that he is walking that back. He is no longer going to be doing that, the CEO of Denny's.
See, you know why, Jackie? Because I teased that we were going to be doing this later today on the show.
Oh, I thought it was because Denny's had such a good reputation that he didn't want to spoil it.
Yeah, add another 5% to that moons over my hammy.
Yeah, I mean, this is yet another guy. He had said yesterday he also plans to cut employee hours. This is just like a bad boss parade, isn't it?
Well, it's what I don't understand is the people who are supporting these decisions, what exactly is it you support? Are you supporting poor treatment of employees? Are you supporting greedy employers? Are you supporting unfair work conditions? Like, what exactly is it are you in favor of if you're backing these guys?
Yeah.
Like, there was the whole Papa John's blow up where Papa John Schnatter, who lives in a castle with a moat,
had 40,000 square foot.
Who said that he was going to charge more for pizza because of healthcare reform. But there are people who are like, oh, let's support Papa John's. In what? What exactly are you supporting?
Yeah, in screwing your employees while you're living in a 40,000-square-foot mansion. And, hey, how about this headline, Jackie? Papa John's pizza stock price tripled under President Obama.
And it's going down now, not only because of the bad publicity, but also because of this $250 million lawsuit against them for spamming people with text messages.
And also, it's basically...
Comma's a B.
And also, it's just basically ketchup on a cracker. I mean, have you ever had Papa John's?
Not recently.
Yuck.
No.
Right. Jackie Schechner, can you stay in the sidecar? And when we come back, let's get into the serious stuff about the states that are starting to warm up to Obamacare.
Sure, why not?
All right. There she is in her little helmet and a jaunty scarf in the sidecar. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God. That feels weird and good all at once.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Jack Schechner, healthcare geek.
Yeah.
First of all, before we get to the, we have to do a little healthcare corner. I just done what Mitt Romney said. What the hell was he talking about? I mean, his comments weren't even based in, nobody's getting free healthcare, right? I mean, the whole premise of these comments that Obama voted for, you know, people voted for Obama because of free stuff.
I would say that the biggest gift the president gave me was winning.
Yes, thank you,
President
Obama.
Because this guy isn't our president, and that is a gift.
Yeah, he said that Obama's healthcare reform was a huge gift for Latinos and blacks. In what way? I don't understand why.
I have no idea. I mean, there's a tab for all of this. I mean, we're not handing out. You get a healthcare plan, and you get a healthcare.
Yeah, he's Oprah. I didn't even get. I was sort of going. I don't even know what he's talking about. He said, "Oh, if you imagine you only make $25,000-$30,000 a year, and you get free healthcare, that's a pretty big get." What is he talking about?
You don't get free healthcare,
and he should know that. I mean,
he doesn't know that because he doesn't understand what it means to not have $1 billion. That's why he doesn't get any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. This doesn't exist in the reality of his unbelievably wealthy world.
And didn't he also channel Rush Limbaugh? He said free contraceptives were very big with young college-aged women.
You gotta love that.
Oh, man. All right. Okay, let's look at This must warm the cockles of your little healthcare geek heart. GOP states warming up to healthcare law. From the south to the heartland, cracks are appearing in the one solid wall of Republican resistance to President Obama's health care law ahead of a federal deadline Friday. It's today, right? This Friday?
Yes.
Well, there was a deadline, a hard deadline of today, where the states had to say whether or not they were going to set up the state-based health care exchanges themselves or whether they were going to turn it over to the federal government. But they've extended that now to December 14th. They have to indicate that they're on their way to planning, but they've now got till December 14th because a lot of the states with Republican governors said that they weren't going to do anything till after the election with the hopes that Mitt Romney would win and they wouldn't have to deal with health care reform, which we said all along was a bad idea because the Affordable Care Act has a provision that says if the states don't set up an exchange, the government does it anyway.
Ironically, right?
Yes.
For people that are screaming about big government, I mean, why would states do that then?
Well, what they're saying now is they want some leeway to work on it, and others are handing it over. I don't know. I mean, maybe the idea is they think the government can't do it. Maybe the idea is they don't want to take it on. They're standing on some ideological principle. It's unclear to me why the states wouldn't do it themselves, especially these states with Republican leaders who claim to want states' rights and states' independence. It just seems totally counterintuitive.
Right, and they're saying, some experts are saying that there's several potential benefits to the state operating their own exchange. What's your take on that?
Well, when we were negotiating, we wanted a federal exchange because we thought that it would have more bargaining power and we'd have more control if we set up something that was nationwide. When you have the states doing individual exchanges, there's more opportunity for, I hate to use the word corruption or bribery, but that's kind of where it comes into play, right? On a state level, you can bend the rules a little bit easier than you can if you have some national oversight.
Right.
So what we wanted was that. We thought it would be a lot stronger for consumers if it were a national exchange. The benefit on the state level is if you need to tailor something that's state specific, that may be a benefit. And a lot of these state leaders want to say that they know their states best and what would be best for their states. So let them go ahead and show it. Let them go ahead and put something into place that's going to help their residents.
I loved even in Mississippi, the Republican Insurance Commissioner said about trying to fight the feds. We tried that 150 years ago in the South and it didn't work. New Mexico, the commissioner said that the party's over, the opposition is over. Whatever states didn't think they were going to do it, I think they're going to have to do it whether they like it or not. It's a done deal now. I mean, between the Supreme Court and the election results, I mean, I don't even get it because there's some places, of course, like Texas. Let me see where else. Louisiana, South Carolina, Missouri, Kansas, and others. There's still not, the re-election results didn't change their opposition. What happens to those people?
Well, that's the sad part, right, is because a lot of the states that are the poorest, where people really do need the most help when it comes to access to health care, are refusing to implement the changes that are going to really help the people of their state. I mean, it really is depressing in that regard, especially, the Supreme Court ruled that the federal government can't mandate that states adjust Medicaid. And what Medicaid expansion would do is cover people up to 133% of the poverty level, which would take a lot of people who don't have access to affordable health care and give them some sort of coverage. And a lot of these states are saying they don't want to implement that. They think it's going to somehow be too much of a burden on them, which is silly because the federal government picks up the tab for the first three years and then 90% in the years after that. So the argument is really ideological more than fiscal on their part. But it's really depressing and sad because all we're trying to do is give people access to affordable coverage. And we're not getting it because people are standing on ceremony.
Jackie, 20 seconds left. When is your prediction this huge national tantrum will be over, this post-election tantrum?
I wish it were over yesterday.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
I know. Me too. I know. Let's drink this weekend.
That'll be a deal.
That'll be different from what we do every weekend.
Call me in.
See you there. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, I'm just a typical little girl. I like dancing and ponies and Friday nights.
Yay! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Renee in Nashville. Hey, Renee, welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
It's so good to talk to you.
You too. You too. Go ahead.
Welcome to Nashville.
Thank
welcome
you.
To Current.
Thank
and
you.
You're new to Nashville area. I've never heard you before,
oh.
And you've changed my viewing habits.
Oh, yay!
I want to say that you're helping us turn this steak purple, and you mispronounced Maine's name. It's Desjardins.
Desjardins.
Yeah, I'm surprised the red guys didn't notice that that's French, and I thought they hated them, too. But apparently, they didn't notice.
Yes, he's the pro-life congressman that just won re-election.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Despite the news that his wife had two abortions. And also the allegedly the patient that he treated and also got pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Had an abortion.
You'd be amazed. The local news, these people that they did speak to for comments, just the voters that were voting early, were calling it just another one of the lies that were being spewed at him. So he became the victim instead.
Yes, of course.
So sad but true. Help us change it, Steph.
All right. I'm on it. Thank you, Renee. All right. Looky here. It's yet another unsolicited testimonial to us on the current TV. We are increasing productivity and cleanliness here in America. Mm.
Okay.
Linda in Minneapolis. Steph, I have to revise my morning schedule now that your show's on TV. I can't justify just sitting and watching, so I found sitting down jobs to do while watching. Sewing hems.
Oh.
Darning socks. You don't even know what that is. Sure I do, Linda.
That's what poor people do.
Something.
It's when you shame a sock.
Right.
Darn you!
That I would normally throw out when a hole appears. See? We're helping her not have to buy more socks. Okay. Dusting with a long-handled Swiffer. Swifter?
Swiffer.
Swiffer.
Oh,
sure.
You don't clean, do you?
Yes, I do. I just don't have a Swiffer.
A Swiffer. Oh, God.
Bringing a dresser drawer from the bedroom and setting in front of the TV to organize my unmentionables.
Oh.
Hmm. I hate doing these jobs, but it validates me sitting on my fat ass for 3 hours. It is becoming more difficult to find odd jobs now that everything is pretty much in order. Linda in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Her house is incredibly clean and orderly.
And her socks are darned.
Darned socks.
And she located a Bond villain.
Oh, all right. Oh, I have another somebody from my future wife list. Woman swings nunchucks out of sunroof while leading police on a chase.
Okay.
I don't even know if you need to know any more about the story than that.
Through a sunroof.
It's my kind of gal. That's all I know. A police officer in Carlsbad, New Mexico, says he tried to pull over Bonnie Morris, 46. Perfect.
Please and thank you.
Right? Last week when he spotted her swinging nunchucks out of her sunroof, she allegedly fails to stop, led the officer in a slow speed chase through a residential area, swinging the nunchucks all the way. A bit of a spectacle. The incident inspired the Detroit Free Press to include never swing nunchucks through your sunroof while driving on their list of safe driving tips.
Okay.
Right after texting. Swinging nunchucks.
Yes. Jim has a bugaboo about texting while driving.
Yes, because I've seen people run red lights while doing it. Mm-hmm. I honk at them. They glance up momentarily and keep going.
You ever seen someone run a red light while swinging nunchucks? No,
never.
That's because you have to have your eyes up.
You know, nunchucks are really ineffective against guns.
To Andrew in California.
The thing about guns is you can fire from a long way away.
It's from an Indiana Jones movie, isn't it?
They're ineffective against whips, too, aren't they?
Andrew in California.
Sword.
Oh.
They hate it.
Okay. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Listen, I have two thoughts for you. The first one, real short and quick. Sexy liberal tour on a cruise ship, 3-day cruise ship out of San Pedro down to Baja.
Oh, dear. Mama can't do cruises. Yeah. I get boat sick.
Oh, okay. Well,
sorry.
Drinking helps.
Oh,
well.
All
okay.
Right. Go ahead.
And then my main thought here is, all these Republican talking heads and Mitt Romney complaining that Obama won because he was ready to offer all these gifts to everybody.
Right.
And yet Mitt Romney was running on great big tax breaks and eliminating inheritance tax
and
capital gain tax. Yeah, and that's not a gift. That's not a Santa Claus for the rich.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Smartest boy in class. There you go. Speaking of which, Jim, who said Romney's analysis is somewhere on the spectrum from incomplete to inaccurate? Obama didn't win Janesville, Ohio, or New Hampshire because of gifts to minorities. Those places are overwhelmingly white. Who said that?
Karl Rove.
No, that was a really bad guess. That would be Mike Allen at Politico.
Oh!
Who wrote that? Mm. Okay, let's go to Rebecca in Maine. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
So I am one of the dozens of black women who voted in Maine.
I voted for Obama.
You're one of those voted sneaky for... black people that sneaked into rural
Wait,
towns.
I snuck right into my city office where I pay my property taxes, and I said, I'm voting, and I'm voting Obama, and I'm voting the new revolution, a clean, correct, rainbow revolution.
There you go.
Pass the jobs bill. Pass the farm bill. No more money to these big money-grubbing businesses. We here are going to boycott Walmart.
I thought
we're going to boycott
the head of the Republican
Denny's.
Party said nobody in Maine knows anyone black. How could you possibly exist?
They just don't want to see us because we're smarter than they think. I'm telling you, we are going to boycott. I want you to help us boycott Black Friday. Boycott business selling us garbage and making huge profits. Boycott Walmart, Denny's, all of these big money grubbers want us to feel so bad for them as they're creating jobs and sucking the wealth right out of working people.
Yep. Rebecca, do me a favor. Go introduce yourself to that Republican Party chairman. Say, hello, I am a black person from Maine.
I'm a
and
black
I am not,
person in Maine.
And
there
I'm
are
original.
At least a dozen of us. Yes, at least.
Hello. Somebody like, oh, there's a unicorn on my porch. Okay. Sandy in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I wanted to say that I think people need to stand up against racism. And those tables with those pictures of President Obama as Hitler, what you need to do is take a video, then go inside and complain and ask them to make them leave. And if they don't, post it on YouTube asking, does this establishment support racism?
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly.
Well,
I mean,
you know, who supported racism? The Nazis, Hitler.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Well, yeah, I mean, to portray a black man as a Nazi is...
Yes, is it both historically inaccurate and weird and...
The Nazis were extreme right-wing white supremacists.
Yes.
Get a brain, Morans.
Exactly. The president says America must seize the moment to overhaul immigration reform. He expects the work to start soon into his... And you know what? Like, he's right. They're obviously only doing it for political purposes, and they've said as much, right?
That's right.
Who cares? Like, good. Then if you feel like, you know, we can finally get something done, which we should have done a long time ago. I mean, that's what I never got when they, in George Bush's term, when they voted, the Republicans voted down immigration. You just gave amnesty to millions of people because you did nothing about it. I say we have to celebrate our differences. All right, fine. Then don't play it. Fine. Give me a dirty look. Stephen, Virginia.
You keep playing it.
I didn't. You did it.
You
did it. Steve in Virginia. Hi, Steve.
You told me to get Ooga Booga Boo, Ooga Booga Boo.
Harry, we called the case about our wonderful military leader who knows nothing about the military and surprised. But as karma has it, or call it God,
yes.
The day after our BP settlement, we just had another rig blow up in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oy.
Yeah. I know.
I mean... Are we?
And by the way, the president, BP had to pay an
unprecedented
settlement because of the president, remember? I mean,
Right. Yeah. By the way, that is breaking news. There are two dead and two injured in a Gulf of Mexico oil rig fire just off the coast of Louisiana. So, and I think four people were airlifted to the hospital.
Good boy.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's we're monitoring that situation as it develops.
Cindy in Missouri. Hi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I love you guys so much.
I love you back.
I was diagnosed with skin cancer about 6 weeks ago.
Oh.
No, it's all good. They got it all.
Okay.
Oh, yay.
You guys were just a never-ending source of entertainment for me. You guys just kept me laughing so hard.
Oh, thank you.
And my favorite part of the show is Right Wing World.
Now, me too now.
It is.
Because they're so angry and screamy and yelly and bitter.
And I just love the whiny baby thing. So it just makes me laugh. But that's it. Oh, my God.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, I've been listening to this for the past week, and they're saying the reason why those of us who voted for Obama is because we're going to get free stuff.
Yeah.
I got a sneaker
phone. What'd you get?
I haven't gotten anything yet. I'm really bummed, but I'll wait by the mailbox. But the thing that I noticed today is that what they're really doing is now is calling over half of the people of this country stupid.
I know.
How did they get away with this stuff?
stuff.
I know. And who wants to listen to that kind of negativity and getting called stupid every day? Is that really? That's it for the next 4 years?
Mm.
Gene in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Hi. I think the greatest gift President Obama gave me was Mitt Romney not being able to appoint Supreme Court justices.
Right.
That's the most important
yes. Thank
of all.
You.
I have three daughters and three granddaughters. Thank God they can't get a hold of them.
Yep, exactly. Yay. Yay, Mr. President. All right, 44 minutes after the
Yay!
Hour.
Yay!
Wee! Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Girl, that woman's about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
Check it out. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Happy Friday. Oh, we missed some of the headlines from the election season. A candidate says sex doll claim is inflated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone for San Diego College Board said his link to a sex doll business was blown out of proportion.
Hey,
Morgan. Hey, speaking of Camity.
What? Uh-oh.
The White House scrubs petition.
Oh, this is funny.
What?
Yes.
The White House has removed a petition from its website calling for anti-tax lobbyist Grover Norquist to be punched in the... The White House created the We the People website in 2011 to allow Americans to create and sign petitions that call for action by the federal government on a range of issues facing our nation. That is a big issue facing our nation. Following his re-election this month, the We the People petition has become a popular outlet for disaffected Americans. That's where some of the secession things are.
Exactly.
This one, I think, you know.
This one is useful.
More productive.
I think it might be kind of hard to find.
Yes. One submitted on Tuesday asked the White House to allow everyone to punch Grover Norquist in the... Okay.
In the Cheney.
Well, we could avoid the fiscal cliff. Okay. Right. Yes, right. Okay.
I think he drowned him in a bathtub. We're not going to find him.
No.
All right. Here's a... Oh, celebrity stack. Oh, Robert De Niro was reportedly not pleased with Jay-Z. He came over to greet him at Leonardo DiCaprio's birthday party in New York because Jay-Z never returned his phone calls. He told Jay that if somebody calls you six times, you call them back. It doesn't matter who you are. That's just rude. Even Beyonce couldn't apparently broker a truce.
I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burned to the ground.
I don't.
Oh, dear.
No. Okay. All right, Jim.
I told him a little bit.
Okay. In honor of, you know, states finally warming up to Obamacare, here's some bad doctor stories. I think Obamacare can cure this. This is kind of squeezy stack for you, Jim. Chiropractor has license suspended over intravaginal massage allegations.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Washington State chiropractor.
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
He allegedly told two of his patients that intravaginal massage would benefit them because of the...
Sure.
Okay. He told one of the women the massages would prevent scar tissue from forming and would alleviate pain. It's the only way to get to certain parts of your back.
Right.
There's a disc that has to be accessed from the front. I'm just saying. Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Okay, part two. It was a harrowing case of teeth cleaning gone awry for a British teen who feared she might die after swallowing her toothbrush.
Oh.
19-year-old Georgie Smith felt the toothbrush slipping down her throat but couldn't do much to stop
it. What? How do you...
How? Smith, here's the part you'll enjoy. Smith has no gag reflex.
Oh. Hey, now.
There was a happy ending for Jim. She's fine. They got the toothbrush out.
I'm so
How
glad.
Does one brush your teeth so far back that That's, you swallow
she
your toothbrush?
Got all that plaque off, that's for sure. Don't you hate when you start on fire during a
You're not
surgery?
Supposed to brush your larynx.
Yeah.
I guess it's hard to tell when you have no gag reflex. You know, you can't even tell how far it's...
Wait, do that again? Yeah, okay.
Hey, jury, it's a toothbrush.
Yes, right. I know.
Sure.
What?
The jury has decided that a Syracuse doctor... See, your mind goes there. I'm just talking about crybaby Republicans right now when I say... And see, you immediately thought that was something bad. Okay.
Well,
what? A jury has decided a Syracuse doctor isn't to blame for an operating room mishap that caused a pregnant woman to catch fire during a cesarean section delivery.
That seems like it'd be hard to do.
I hate when that happens.
Well, then.
All right. I apologize in advance for this last medical stack story, because that is going to, you're going to have to do America's Funniest Vaginal Mishaps. But I just don't. The headline is Man Injects Penis with Olive Oil, Bad Things Happen.
Which
I think
would
you would have seen coming. His coconut-sized genitalia was just the beginning.
Coconut?
It's caused he's admitted to a Bangkok hospital.
Oh, well, Bangkok.
Well,
yeah, one night in Bangkok.
Yeah,
makes
something.
A hard man.
He took it literally.
Nads the size of coconuts. Okay. He was admitted to a Bangkok hospital after an unlicensed olive oil injection. Can you get a license to inject your with olive oil? Because it doesn't seem like a good idea whether it's licensed or not. But I don't.
Wow. At least it wasn't hot sauce.
It was meant to enlarge his. It caused an infection. His testicles swelled to the size of
coconut.
Yeah, the aforementioned coconuts. So that happened.
Why?
All right. Is coconuts.
Why?
I don't. Okay. Bob in Philadelphia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I just wanted to talk to you about wingnut deprogramming. You know, it's amazing to me, you know, a couple I know that, you know, you think you know them.
Right.
And I'm trying to, you know, qualify for Social Security disability. And they have that, you know, everybody just bellies up to the bar for their free stuff thing. And, you know, that $1,000.
It's not free. You paid into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know they don't understand. I applied in February, was initially denied in August, which my lawyer tells me 90% of all cases are being denied. You got to wait 12 to 16 months to get an appeal, and then even if you do qualify, from what I understand, you can't even get access to Medicare for another 18 months afterwards. You know, and all you get is that again. That you know, I don't know. Is that 1,000-yard stare, or what did Bruce Springsteen call it, the diamond-hard look of a cobra, you know, from these folks. And you think, you know, this lady likes cats. How can it be?
What? Okay. I don't know what happened there. He lost me on the cats, but okay. Let's go to Paul in Nevada. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mama Mooks. How you doing?
Hey,
love
go
the
ahead.
Show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen, I wanted to say, you know, John McCain is, you know, he's railing against the president, you know, about Benghazi and everything. And
yes.
Susan Rice.
He was doing that, by the way, instead of attending the hearing.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yes, briefing on Benghazi.
Back in 2005, when Condoleezza Rice was up for nomination, you know, he's defending her when she said, you know, that our warning was going to come as a mushroom cloud.
Yep.
And WMDs, you know, she
We don't
not
want
only
the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud.
Yes, that.
Not only did she mislead us into Iraq, but also, you know, concerning all the new information that's come out about the early warnings about 9/11, the initial attack in 2001, you know, this guy's reprehensible.
Yep.
You know, he shouldn't even be in the Senate anymore.
Yep, I agree. Very, very bitter. Very bitter.
Very bitter.
Very bitter. Almost as bitter.
By the time I got to the fifth grade, I was very bitter. Very, very bitter. A bitter, bitter person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Eddie in Massachusetts. Hi, Eddie.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Happy Friday.
Hi, you too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, why can't Papa John's give their employees health insurance when he can give away 120,000 free pizzas a week during football season and 2 million for the whole season?
Yeah, I know. Gee, that's a lot of extra change laying around.
Right,
that
it
might
is.
Insure a person or two in your employ. Deb in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, love.
Hey,
it's
honey.
Me again.
Yes, go ahead.
Thanks so much for your guys' presence on the air once
thank you.
Again.
Thank you.
I'm calling because
I thank you for your presence on Earth as well.
You're very kind.
All right.
I'm calling because I've been on the phone this morning with as many Denny's restaurants as I could find. And please note, everyone, that the Denny's employees aren't at least the five, I sound like a pollster calling five people and thinking that that's the result. But I'm going to keep going today.
Well, your work is done because he's back down on charging 5% on everybody's bill at Denny's for as an Obamacare surcharge or whatever. Whatever. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.